Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
And hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cantina here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button if it's something you haven't done already. Thank you to all 3,000 of you, 3,003 as of right this moment, actually, that have subscribed. We really do appreciate it. I'm Kyle. That's Cam. Shockey being a good teacher and helping his school out. Doing some extra teaching stuff, school stuff. So Shockey hasn't been with us for these reviews, but we're here to talk about the Mandalorian season 3 episode 4 review. Going to what is it called? The Foundling.
The Foundling.
Yes, the Foundling, which is like many of the titles in this series, multi-layered, because we're following two Foundling stories in this episode. We're also going to talk a bit about news, some Star Wars movie news after the review. So stand by for that, or you know, check out the chapter timestamps down below. If you like other things besides Star Wars, Marvel, DC, hoity-toity movies, whatever, we've got a Discord channel. Come join. Link in the box down below. Chat all that stuff with us and check out all of our shows that cover all that stuff, like Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, Daily Cog, Breaking Geek Radio, and of course our anime content with AVR and AVR Squared. You guys can actually also check out a written review of this week's episode at lrmonline.com. Cam wrote that up. I think I started talking off last week, Cam. So let's start with you this week. Your spoiler free review of Mando season 3 episode 4.
Yeah. So after episode 3, which I think was a very good episode, and we have both rated quite highly, I think it's not quite as good this week. I'm still having fun. It was still enjoyable.
People are going to tell us how wrong we are. They're going to say that this is the best episode so far, Cam. I have already seen
some people say that. I've already seen that. And when we get to the spoilers, we'll probably talk about why that is, because it's nostalgia berries. But overall, it was just all right. It was just decent. I had a couple of small quibbles here and there. Nothing major.
I'm medium-sized.
Okay. I could see... I mean, I had a couple of issues with some CGI this week.
Oh, yeah.
And since I don't normally and you do, I kind of figured you might have that. But we'll see what we get to. But yeah, that's kind of where I am. I'm still enjoying it. It was a good enough episode. It wasn't horrible or anything. But it was, you know... bits of it could have been better. I actually think direction wise everything was fine in terms of what Carl Weathers did. It was more a little bit of design, a little bit of visual effects stuff that kind of annoyed me a little bit. And then on the story front, I kind of feel like we haven't really spent much time with Din this season, and that really kind of carries forward this episode, and we're now halfway through this season. And you kind of, it'll be fine as long as we focus on that going forward. Mm. But I'm kind of worried that he's a bit of a background character.
Two stories in a row, two episodes in a row. Like, a lot of people had issue with last week's episode being light on Mandalorian as well. You and I agreed that, you know, if they had divvied that story up as... you know, shots in the first, you know, three episodes and combined it that way instead, might have.
Maybe, but now that we've seen this week and that story doesn't really carry on, that maybe it would have felt weird for it to be building and then just stop at that point.
Well, no, so if they had gone, like, especially with this episode being only 30 some odd minutes, if they had taken what we saw last week and put it between the first two episodes, with this being episode 3, but using almost all the same shots. I mean, you're just going to lengthen these other episodes by adding it to it. But you would have had the big buildup to his arrest and stuff going on in this episode, as well as and you would have to look at cutting some other things, because this also has two things that you're watching: stuff with Grogu, stuff with the other Mando team and the other foundling. But I do see where people are like, yeah, it's light on Mando, and it's to do that two episodes in a row was like what they did in Book of Boba
it's
Fett.
It's not like overly concerned at this point, because he's there, and it's just that we're really spending time with some of the more secondary characters here to build them up a little bit, which is fine. It's just that at some point we're going to have to go back to the focusing on him a little bit. Really, just what I'm getting at is there hasn't been much conflict for him this season.
Nothing
for him to really react to. He's just kind of following the, and it's everybody else round about him that's doing some kind of developing this year, if that makes sense.
My biggest issues with this are a little bit, and I'm not sure if it's on the writing side or the editing slash script director side, but there's something dealing with kind of continuity, if you will, with the foundling rescue mission, and then a whole bunch on the effects and compositing. And I can tell you right now the chase scene looked so bad is because it wasn't composited using traditional chroma keying. They rendered that whole chase scene in Unreal 5 most likely, and slapped it up on the volume, and they filmed that with him sitting on that speeder in the volume. That's why it doesn't look good. That's why it's so jarring, and Coruscant looks so flat, and that the lighting isn't quite right, because it's coming from a screen here, and it feels all so flat, so two-dimensional. But if you watch like Bo-Katan's ship coming in, right, it comes in for a landing and it looks great, because that's all just CGI at that point. There's no compositing, and they're not laying something live action over it like they did in the chase. So because of those issues, this ended up getting a B minus from me. Some technical stuff and a little bit of story stuff.
As well, interestingly, that's exactly the grade I gave it in my written review. So it wasn't bad. It's just there's a few things just taking it down.
Yeah, I think most everything in here, including the chase, is fine. It just looks like Dookie. The story elements that go on during the flashback are fine.
It works when you've written the storyboard for this. You know, it works in the storyboard. It just, maybe the final product wasn't quite as good. It almost feels like maybe because it was Coruscant that we were in at some points that it was that, we're not filming Coruscant. I know, but that was in that kind of people walking about close range shots. Once they've went to the action shots, I think they've relied on what works for us rather than what's going to really look good.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we're in spoilers now. We'll discuss the flashback scene first.
We'll go on spoilers.
We're looking at it. It feels so jarring because the previous episode, while there were moments where you're like, volume, but you know what I'm saying? It looked better. It looked much, much, much better.
It did. Yeah, it did. Just undeniably. This
here, but there were moments that were rough last episode as well, but not as jarring here. Like I said, so generally in the past, when you do a special effects shot, you have either stuff you went and pre-filmed, say the forest footage on Endor for Return of the Jedi, which you then film Luke and Leia, Hamill and Fisher on their bikes using green or blue screens, combinations depending on technology, lighting, and whatnot. And then you chroma key that screen out, and you composite the two together. As time goes on, you start doing something similar with CGI. And you would have to pre-program your camera angles and line things up differently. This, however, was completely different than that. Instead of filming on a blue or green screen, they rendered that chase, and they probably used some combination of traditional cameramen and camera work, and probably some robotic camera work where they pre-programmed some certain camera movements. Stuck him on Ahmed Best. It was great to see him get a Jedi Master heroic moment, given his history here in the franchise. That was nice. But they stuck him and the Grogu puppet on that speeder bike, and it's held up by blue green screened pillars, and they did that in front of the volume. That's why it looks so bad, because he's completely stationary, and it's the volume images around him. Think of it as a simulator ride. You've been on simulator rides, right? That's what that was. He was in a giant open simulator ride, and it looked like shit. It was as awful looking as the Book of Boba Fett land speeder / Vespa's chase.
I don't think I could go as far as that. It didn't look as bad as that to me.
Okay,
because
you still
had the sense of speed.
This looked faster. I'll give you that. This looked faster.
And it's the kind of thing where if you blurred it out, if you were really bad eyesight, you would notice it, and you'd think
maybe
it was really good. But whereas the Book of Boba Fett, you would still be looking at it going, why are they going
super,
so slow?
Super slow, yeah. And that's because they filmed a little bit more stuff in that one. They filmed a little bit more of it traditionally, but they were on these really cramped sets, and it looked bad. This looked equally as bad, if not for different reasons, and some similar reasons. Excuse me. There's just no movement in the speeder bike. It was so bad. And then you look at additional CGI scenes, like I said, involving Bo-Katan's ship, or even the Mandalorians flying around on their jetpacks, where they go from being live actors to being computer rendered. And that's fine with me, because it looked good when it was all computer. It looked mostly unnoticeable. Indifference to live action, especially the long off shots and stuff like that. They should have done that the way you do those types of shots before.
Which would have probably meant less shots with Best and more with a stuntman probably playing it, distance shots, things like
not
that.
Necessarily.
Because I think they went with that so they could have always
not necessarily. You're still gonna end up using Ahmed Best on a stage surrounded with blue or green screens. But what the thing here, and I know it might be hard for some to understand, and I might not even be explaining it the most simplistic way, but by running the video, especially with all of the city lights, and if you notice, man, the background looks like it's got like that gray haze that if you don't have an OLED TV, your backlighting from your TV, how blacks don't look pure black unless you've got an OLED, right? And don't give me mini LED and stuff like that, you tech geeks. I'm trying to keep it simple. Hi, kitty. But that gray wash that you get behind your TV in dark portions, black portions of your image, comes from the fact that it's backlit, right? It's backlit with LED lights, whether there's a thousand, a million of them, or just a few. The volume is essentially kind of sort of the same thing. There's going to be a backlight until we get OLED screens that big. And so there's this washed out look to it. And man, it looks so flat. I don't know if it's because there's too much movement, because it is so fast. Is that why it looked so flat? There's not enough for your eyes to grab onto to give it a lot more depth. But then when he's on the ground and rolling around, you can really see where the line of the screen is, man. Like, you can actually tell where the physical stuff is literally ending in a way that man, it may have happened a few times in past episodes. I'm sure it has, but this time it was just so obvious. It was jarring. And I hated it for that, because it was such a actually relatively good fun, exciting moment. Here's this really, you know, dramatic situation. Grogu is having a flashback, something that I can actually relate to, a traumatic, you know, traumatic flashback, PTSD. And you're getting this really fun, you know, escape from the Jedi Temple. There's Ahmed Best, gets a redemption of sorts by playing a great character. Don't give me that. You love Jar Jar Binks. You're lying to yourself. But
you know that it's an existing character as well. That's the only thing I kind of didn't like about it. You'll know, but I didn't think you'd know this. But
no.
Have you ever heard of a show called Jedi Academy Challenge or something like that? It was like a kids' TV show where people went on and did some sort of game show. That character, that Jedi Master, was who Ahmed Best played.
Okay.
And it was the same name and everything. Kind of canonizes it.
Goofy, but.
And that's the kind of thing that annoyed me a little bit about it, because I would have rather he was just any unnamed person. Why did he have to be that one to connect it with the kids' TV show, which doesn't fit in terms of the timelines or anything like that at all? So it's a bit weird, but no problem with Ahmed Best being back.
Yeah, no. It was great.
It wasn't that, and it looked fine as a character. It was just that knowledge, and if you don't know that, you won't care. But when you know that, you're kind of like, huh?
It's
kind of
wonky.
Yeah.
But I like the chase. I like the dual wielding lightsabers is always badass. I love it when people dual wield anything, burgers, you know, whatever.
Well, I had one other quibble. So the bike seems to have it's like a sidecar. That wouldn't fit anyone but a Grogu, almost.
The coincidences of things. Yeah, we'll get to that. there's some other things that are coincidental. Maybe that's the wrong word for what else I'm going to complain about. Anyways, I enjoyed the flashback scene. I don't really have any issues with it on a story thing, on a plan and execution, other than the way they filmed it and composited this image. That alone makes me worried for what they were probably wanting to do with Rogue Squadron, because I was like, man, it would be really cool. You put a big giant X-wing in a big giant volume. You've got authentic lighting. You put the stuff around it. Now I'm thinking that the tech's not there yet.
Maybe, but slightly different, because it would be almost like you'd only be seeing backgrounds through a cockpit, so might not be quite.
Maybe
as...
it depends, because they might.
And when you
get
cut
some
to
of those
outside shots,
external
it would be
ones,
more.
You would hope it would all be
CGI.
You would hope it would be all CGI at that point. But maybe they would be like, oh, we want to see more head movement, and I don't know. Like I said, it's not like I'm against it. I know that.
Do you know what I would be against them getting back to using models at times? Because
I know,
other than the background stuff and the way they had to like fuzz out the edges and all that, all the old techniques they used in the OT, the models look as good as any CGI that they do now. You know, you can't use them for everything.
They look
but
a lot of the physical models and effects they used in the sequel trilogy. We Cam and I can say a lot of awful things about the sequel trilogy. We will not deny how amazing they can look. All three of them have moments that just,
especially the second one. The second one looks fantastic. It just
absolutely
is quite a pretty film. So
it is. So let's talk about the Foundling Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So kid gets kidnapped by what they're calling a raptor. And somehow, and here's my big issue with this part, and this is story writing or editing / script director, script supervisor type stuff going on here. There's continuity issues, right? Kid gets kidnapped by this raptor, and it takes all the Mandos chase him for the rest of that day. By the end of the day. Bo-Katan comes back, says, hey, I can take us there in a ship, and we'll get at them. So they plan a mission, and they go on this mission. They have to spend one night out because they're going to go the rest of the way on foot. They climb up this damn mountainside. They get there. Kid's not there. Bird, big bird's not there. Baby birds are. Baby raptors are. The mom or dad, whatever, comes back. Mom, I'm guessing, since there was eggs there. The mom raptor comes back and hacks up the kid. So you're telling me that this kid spent 2 days, an overnight and overnight, in the bird's gullet. That, because it's Star Wars, Boba Fett in the Sarlacc pit. I get it. Things can survive inside. But here was my biggest issue.
Yeah.
When the bird hacked him up, he was dry. Dry as a bone. There was no slobber, no nothing. There it was dry.
And someone will come out with in some technical manual and explain that at some point, you know, when they go like 10 years later, what do we need to fix from 10 years ago? All right, so
at
this
some
creature
point,
has a dry pouch that it stores it, food in, and it oxygenates it
so that it
can keep it alive for longer. It's stupid, but why would any animal do such a thing? Why would evolution do that?
Dude, in movies, it's nothing to put slime on someone to simulate having been in something. I mean, slime, our grade school kids whip up slime for arts and crafts time. All he needed to do was just be a little bit wet.
Yeah.
And it would have been better. But no, man, he hacked up a dry ass kid after an overnight. And that's why I'm saying it's like someone, I don't know if they're like, hey, look, the raptor's going to grab the kid at, eat him off screen, maybe even on screen, take it to its babies and hack him up. And then no one said, oh, by the way, the writing team says it's going to be an overnight trip to get there. You know, I'm thinking whoever did the shot rendering, whoever did the visual effects and all that, basically took it as like this thing grabs the kid and immediately took it back. But they wanted to expand the trek there, so they get the nighttime stuff with Bo and the mask.
Maybe.
I think there's a continuity issue here. Not necessarily in movie, but like on the outside. Like someone somewhere messed things up. That, or they really just didn't give a damn, and they were like, nah, the bird's got a dry patch, and that's where it keeps its.
I think they could have easily fixed that by just changing it and having the bird that he was there all the time, but he's unconscious or something like that.
He's storing the food.
Started feeding him yet because the big bird's not encouraged him. Just as they're going to rescue him, Big Bird turns up. You know,
exactly. I would have bought that.
I love the design of the creatures.
Nah, I wasn't feeling it. Very cartoony.
It was a bit cartoony for me. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes that's purely subjective, artistic. You know, I just looked at them and thought, I don't know. It doesn't look like a fearsome creature for me. I have another coincidence or you know, planning situation.
The coincidence, like the kid lasting, like not just inside, but even the fact that he wasn't fed immediately to the baby birds. The fact that they could wait.
It's even something
2 days.
Else. So
what's that?
I'm starting to question why the children of the watch are on this godforsaken predator filled planet.
Yeah.
And this especially is not when
this isn't
they're
the first time them, it's taken kids
right?
before.
It's not as if
why didn't you kill it?
Somebody's trying to kill them all. So why are they on this crazy planet with creatures who are actively feeding on them as part of the food chain, and there's very little that they can do about it? That just doesn't seem like a good place to live to me. And it kind of feels like that's twice now this season that they've used that just to give us some action scenes, because I think they've worried that all this Children of the Watch stuff might be a bit boring if we don't throw some action scenes in there. So let's have this planet's get some weird creatures living in it. And it kind of feels like that a little bit more than when then you take it back to you. But why are they there? You know, they're not, this is the only planet that we can hide. No one would get us here. Well, you don't have to hide. No one's looking for you specifically. And you know, why not just go and pick a far safer place to live on? Well, you know, and that's the only thing.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
me. If you're losing kids, man.
Even Christine brought it up, where it's just like you've got you're on this planet. You know where this thing, like no one thought about. Even if the Mandalorians themselves don't have a ship, they've got to do trade, and there are ships, of course, they get around from place to place. But you got to.
How do any of them go out and do any jobs if there's no ships?
Not only that, but you could have hired someone. Like, at some point, you should have went and hunted this thing down, and killed it. If it was taking your children.
I mean, yeah, it's clearly targeting your group as a feeding ground. You know, you have to deal with that as it.
Yes.
It's going to keep. Feeding there because it's easy prey. You need to make it so that it doesn't want to come back.
So it's all very coincidental, cartooniness of just kind of letting things happen or go by, and we just now can do something about it because these two are here.
Bringing the birds out, the babies at the end, that was a bit Disney-ish to say. We're not going to leave them motherless. We're going to bring them in and feed them. What are they going to do with these things? What the hell?
I asked
Christine.
Are we going
to ride about them? Like,
there's only one. There was only one question. Are they edible? That's it. Can they be used as food?
I mean, that's what they would have been.
If
it then cut to 2 days later, and they're like, these things taste actually quite good.
Oh, you know? Right.
And they would totally get any trouble for that. There would have been
Why?
Complaining.
We eat animals. That's what we do. People.
We also eat, you know, like it's like people, oh my God, how can you kill baby animals to eat them? Have you ever tried lamb?
Lamb is one of the most delicious meats there is.
Just to let you know,
lamb.
They is not grown up sheep.
Nope.
They is not.
I love the best lamb shank I've ever had in my entire life came in County Clare, Ireland, in the town of Ennis at the restaurant in the hotel we stayed at. The absolute best lamb shank I've ever had in my entire life.
Killed it in the field
phenomenal.
Next door.
Probably.
Earlier on that afternoon. Nice
it was phenomenal.
Actually, with meat, you don't want it bang on that fresh meat. You usually want it to go through a few processes.
Unless it's fish.
Before you get it.
Fish
is different. Fish,
pretty,
yes.
Pretty fresh.
I'm not a fan of
Anyways.
Fish. But yeah, one time I went to one of the places where they fish a lot in Scotland, and I got fish for my dinner in a restaurant, and it was like a different experience altogether because it had probably been caught that afternoon.
Anyway.
But yeah, unless they turn these into, I don't know, winged beasts that they use.
They're going to be mounts. You know they are.
And then, okay.
Bo's going to ride... Bo's gonna ride the mythosaur. These things are gonna hit a growth spurt.
Yeah,
and Vizsla.
So she's in the mythosaur, and then there's three people.
The others
behind
will be on those creatures.
It's gonna be
so cartoony, man.
It really is. But that does speak for quite a cool action scene, depending on what they're going up against as well.
We'll see. They teased some cool Rancor stuff, and we got...
It wasn't so cool. No.
No. Any other thoughts on Mando Season 3, Episode 4, before we get into the news portion?
No. I'm good.
Yeah, we'll see how things go. So, in the news front, Cam, why don't you tell us the awful, awful, awful trend in Star Wars that is continuing.
So the latest news was, it was originally a rumor that came from Jeff Snyder, but, you know, considering Snyder's been like one step ahead of his trades for all of this stuff, it was kind of like writing was in the wall, and he had said that Damon Lindelof and his writing partner, somebody, Brett Gibson, had left the Star Wars project that they were developing, but that the director, again, the name Shinoid Obey. That's the surname.
Yeah.
I can't remember the first name. Sorry,
Charmaine Obey.
I'm just going to call her
Charmaine. Charmaine.
Right. So Charmaine, she's still attached. All right. But those two had left as kind of writers. Now, I think when this all first came out, there was a lot of people probably felt that Lindelof was a producer or something on this, mm-hmm. given his sort of stature compared to everyone else that's involved, and that he was like producing this from his pitch idea. But it actually seems now that it may be that he was just really on script duties in terms of his involvement with the project to begin with. Not long after that article actually came out, deadline, THR, they all started kind of running the same thing, saying, yep, the two writers have left the project. Sharman's still attached, and they still expect it to be the next Star Wars movie, and that it will get announced at Star Wars Celebration and probably start filming next year sometime. But what is clear is that the script will go through another evolution now before they get to the filming stage. Mm-hmm. In terms of when I first covered the article, and I thought of Lindelof being a bigger part of this, and I thought this is like another Lucasfilm disaster. But actually, to be fair, writers do change in these things quite a lot. I mean, almost every, you know, maybe apart from the Mandoverse, which is sort of mostly Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, a lot of the other kind of projects that we see, Marvel, Star Wars, they go through several writers' hands before we get to the final product. Mm-hmm. So if they use this basic idea, it'll probably be Lindelof and Brett Gibson will both still get a story credit, story by, you know, but they're not going to go with their script overall for this. And so in terms of who's producing it, whose pitch it was, how all that works, I mean, we really just don't know at this point. We don't know anything about this movie other than rumours that said it should be set after, post The Rise of Skywalker, if you like, as well. But that's it. It's confirmed Damon Lindelof and his writing partner on this, somebody's Brett Gibson. Excuse me for not remembering everybody's name.
Justin.
It's not famous. That's why I have a computer.
Yeah, Justin Gibson.
Justin and Charmaine, that's what I'm going to call you guys from
there
now
you
on.
Go.
They've moved on, and you know, and Charmaine remains, and the film, as far as we know, is still coming out. But I think we can stop calling it Damon Lindelof Star Wars film now, and we'll call it Charmaine's Star Wars film, because that's basically what it is at this point.
I do not disagree with that. Yeah, man, it's just that trend of just things getting leaked and or announced, because there's even official things announced that end up getting tamped down. That turn out to not be true, man. It's just, it feels like Star Wars, man. It's the absolute state of Star Wars right now is just shocking. Yeah. Seriously, it's upsetting, I mean, man.
If you're really not a fan of Lindelof, then some people are like, good, because I don't like him. But I actually think he's pretty good. And I don't think he's done everything perfect, but he's made
for
some
me,
good
it's not even
stuff.
About a particular person attached or not. It's just the fact that they can't get anything moving.
What concerns me is if they've left, they've got a target date of when this film's to start filming, but they don't have a completed script yet, so they're going to bring in someone else to polish this up now, right? What if they don't have enough time to do that? Do they still push ahead and just make another half-assed movie that wasn't really doing what anybody gets sold in the pitch on in the first place?
I don't know.
That's what worries me.
I'm so scared that Iger is going to be so super hand. And this is the thing that I don't think people get. Don't forget that a lot of the issues with Star Wars came during Iger's previous term. I mean, he's the one that pushed for Star Wars movies to come out one every year.
Yeah,
that was Iger
for delays.
That was Iger.
And
so people looking at him coming in, talking about slow down, cut content, this, that, and the other. It's all good news business wise. You guys can hear Manny and I talk business on the Daily Cog here on the channel during the weekdays. It's good for business, but it makes me afraid of how much studio interference is he gonna have, like he did between episodes 8 and 9 again, because their interference didn't play out so well. I have a lot of issues with Star Wars episode 8, but you guys can go back and check out countless episodes of the Cantina, Cantina reviews, everything leading up to The Rise of Skywalker, LR Mornings, old LR Mornings episodes. I said and stand by, they should have leaned into The Last Jedi, instead of trying to spin half of episode 9 retconning and then trying to wrap up not just a trilogy, but a trilogy of trilogies.
And that was one of the key mistakes they made. They had to make it so that this was the end of the Skywalker saga. They had to tag themselves onto that. And as we've said before, they could have just started a new story. And instead of that, then having to end the story at Rise of Skywalker, we're now like, well, where does this go? We don't know where it's going to go. It could have went for another 4 or 5 movies, for all we know, and you could have went in a completely new direction. Those were possibilities open to you, but because they were so determined to say, no, this is, you know, episode 9 of this saga, this is that was the beginning of the saga, this is the end of it, and they ruined the real end, because this doesn't make sense. You know, anyway, we could go on about that all day, but yeah, that's where we had issues. It was, we said earlier on, it looked good, a lot of money spent in it, but yeah, I go, don't make those same mistakes again. You know, let's just make sure everybody's happy with this script, at least, like, the people that are going, like, yeah, I like this script. I think we should make this script. The director's going, yeah, I like it. Let's make it. The stars are going, yeah, we're good too. That's when you push the button and move ahead, I think, because just can't afford to take any risks at rushing things, I don't think, this time. Because if they make a crap Star Wars film,
then, Oh man!
All bets are off. It's like, yeah, it becomes a cancer really at the movies. No,
just like, I don't think Marvel can really take another bad movie or show. Man, I'm nervous about the Marvels.
I'll tell you another thing: the DCU has to hope it does a hell of a lot better than the DCEU was doing, because Shazam was flop city.
Yeah, and I asked if people would care enough, and I don't think they do.
Will they come back for Superman Legacy, because it's new, because it's different? I think it will get an up.
They'll be there for the Flash. They'll be there for the Flash because of Batman.
Because of Batman. Flash will do all right, yeah.
I don't think Aquaman 2 does so hot. No. I really don't.
No. I think it will do better than Shazam, because there's some people that just don't like Shazam in terms of they feel it's maybe a bit too kiddish for them and the way it's set up, and they might see Aquaman 2. Plus, he's a Snyder character as well, so the Snyder fans will be like, that this is the true next step of the Snyderverse. So I think it'll make more money than Shazam, but I don't think it'll do a lot. No, so you know, Star Wars can't afford to be one of those now.
So it really can't, but you guys can continue to check us out here for more Star Wars content. Any other thoughts or anything, Cam, before we wrap it up?
No, we don't have long now till Star Wars Celebration, so we might actually finally start to get some idea of what comes
the future
in the movie side of things, because we kind of know where we're going in the TV side, so, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, guys, be sure to check out LRM Online. .com every day for all entertainment news, needs, opinions, celebrity interviews available on the LRM Online channel, including Spanish language interviews. This one isn't one, but it does have Nancy, our interviewer, who does our Spanish language interview. So check all of that out. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We have everything broken down into playlists for your easy consumption, including breaking down reviews, so you can actually find individual Star Wars reviews or Marvel reviews, all of our anime content easily digestible and bingeable. If it's not a reaction video like AVR Squared and Genre Shot trailer reactions, all the news podcast reviews and stuff go up on your favorite podcast apps like Spotify. And yeah, I mentioned the website, which if you want to write for, drop us a line, email, or even direct message on Twitter. All that information's in on the screen in front of you or in the description box down below. Cam, any other words?
No, I don't think so. See you next week, I guess.
May the force, I think I was going to say something, forgot what it was. That's all right. I forget all the time. All right, guys. May the force be with you.